I can only give you love that lasts forever, and the promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone, that's all, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime, and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You are listening to Thought Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark.
There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold you, and a love time can never destroy. If you're wondering what I'm asking in return, dear, you'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you adore.
Our guest, Dr. Carmen Harris, she is the author of The 11 Eternal Principles, Accessing the Divine Within. She's a clinical psychologist, a metaphysical intuitive, and with vast experience. Her impressive background includes various forms of psychology, such as cognitive therapy, and she's a sought-after intuitive counselor who has offered guidance to everyone from Hollywood celebrities to eminent politicians, and she's a savvy media guest. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have some fun with Carmen. And Carmen, hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael, for having me.
Oh, and thank you so much
That's
for being here. The 11 eternal principles, are our lives guided by principle?
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, we live by our man-made laws, far inferior than the laws of the divine. I'm just going to give you an example. Space, time, killing, suffering, diseases, these are man-made laws. The laws of the divine are forever, they're eternal. They can really transform life on Earth, but we're not really using them. So everything I'm saying in this book has been said for thousands of years. I'm just doing the job of bringing them back, you know, in a time of monumental transformation in the evolution of consciousness. So I think that raising the level of awareness is key, acknowledging that we live by fear, and we can continue to live like this, that humanity has to evolve and has evolved through many centuries. And because this transformation is happening now, we have to use these laws more than before and acknowledge that they exist. Because think a little bit, 3 years ago, we were so mesmerized by the law of attraction. And everybody says, aha, so it's possible to bring the good in your life and create and attract everything. But the law of the attraction is just only one law. Imagine writing a symphony on one note, or writing or making a soup on one ingredient. So we have to acknowledge there are more laws, and they work with each other. So it's all about the totality and bringing them into the in our life in a moment when we need to transform life on Earth.
You know, the law of attraction, it was very interesting. I had a thought about that, Carmen, way back when everybody started getting involved with this, and I heard people say, I believe in it, I don't believe it, and it's worked, and it hasn't worked. And I've always thought, as I listened to it, you bet it's got to work. If somebody's absolutely miserable, look what you attracted to you.
Absolutely, but you know, if you don't acknowledge that the law of attraction works with the law of karma and works with the law of totality and the law of manifestation and the law of harmony, then and it doesn't necessarily work on its own. And the more you acknowledge that you have to create good karma so to be capable of attracting something good in your life. I mean, let's say you're just a horrible person creating a lot of bad karma. How are you going to attract the good into your life? So I'm just trying to tease people and make them acknowledge that they have to bring all their laws together to create the life of their dream.
Well, let's bring this to relationship. There are people who have miserable relationships, and what they're doing is they're drawing those people to them that's going to cause them to be miserable to do what? One thing and one thing only, to prove themselves right about themselves. It's unconscious, but it's a cut and dried law.
Absolutely. And also think of relationships, that people coming in our life are just a reflection of what we need to work on.
No question. And I believe that. I've always believed that if a couple are together and they break up, who you get next was who you were in the last relationship.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my kind of work, I see women that come to me and they attract the same type of guy, the same married man or the same addicted personality, or the same compulsive personality disorder person. So they bring back the same situation over and over, and this is also called something that becomes karmic, because it's a repetition of the same thing, and unless you break through that karma, it will continue to happen to you.
Same guy, different body.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't it about how we define love, how we define relationship, and how we define love and relationship is basically how we define the universe, and it all comes together, and I imagine the principles that you're talking about
absolutely
will fall into line.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. And I talk in great length about this law of love, because it's such a powerful law, because it's such a natural inheritance, and law is healing everything and everybody. It's healing karma. It's bringing wisdom in your life. It makes you feel fulfilled and happy, but we don't understand the true unconditional love, you know. We used to believe that love is something that you can manipulate, that you can use in your favor, you know. I love you, but I hate you. You know, I love you if you give me. It's conditioning things, you know.
But is that love?
That's not love.
No, of course not. So what we're doing is we're calling love something that it isn't. And I think that in and of itself causes the problem. We're assuming it's something, and we take this assumption on as fact. You can't prove it wrong because of your experience. And now you're living your life and your experiences of life based on some assumption you had, and your life is not being lived in the real world.
Absolutely.
Your turn. Okay. So, all right. Now, and we got that. Now, let me ask you this. When we look at people, we look at some of the celebrities, we look at some of the people around us, are they very obvious as to what laws, what rules, what some of those divine principles, what they're not satisfying in their life?
Yeah, and also when you look at celebrities and you take them as a reflection of what's happening to us. I mean, I think of Tiger Woods. You know, he was the perfect self-disciplined guy. Never make a mistake. But underneath, his life probably was totally chaotic. He was not the guy we thought he was. So he just reminds us that we need to go out of denial and look at what's really happening underneath the surface, because humanity is in denial. So we have to stop pretending that everything is okay and under control when it isn't. So it's just that perfect example. So the life as a celebrity is just an example that something is going on. Oprah's decision to end her syndicated show is just showing that this is a time of great change, when we meant to probably hear new people, new voices. And I don't know who else to think of. Obama, for instance. Obama as the president, also as a celebrity. You look, we're looking at him for stability, but it's totally wrong. You can't look at Obama as the president to fix our problems. We have to fix our problems. We are the one who have to make the change. And we have to shift our consciousness and embrace the change. If you just operate on the results, you can never see change. And that's exactly what we have done lately, because he doesn't have a magic wand. He can't change things.
No, Carmen, let me hold you up just for a second. I think that the biggest problem we have is we put Obama up there. I wasn't one of the people that voted for him, but he's my president. We put him up there. And we put him up there for one reason and one reason only, because we thought he was going to give us things. We thought we were going to get this free, and we thought we were going to get that free. And we've got to a point in this country and in this life that we all live collectively that it's entitlement. Give me, give me, give me. And the person that gives you the most is the person that you vote for. I'm sure this young man, when next year or the year after, it's all going to come tumbling down on him because he didn't have the stability, and he won't really have the backing, because these people, as they see him tumble, they're going to step away from him as fast as possible. I don't see anybody on the horizon that can do any better job at this stage of the game. But,
no.
but that's what we have to look at. When he mesmerized a country, and he mesmerized the world. There were people who put their hopes and dreams on things that he said, but they heard it in the way that they wanted to hear it. And he let it go that way. And now all of a sudden, it's not the way that they thought it was.
Yeah.
And he's having a grand old time, and he's going on vacation. He's spending money. But there's still the big school dropouts. There's still poverty. There's still problems in the inner city. There's all of these problems that were supposed to be worked out that they're not worked out. And karma is karma does. And one day he's going to look in the mirror, and it's going to come back at him.
But there's also something else. You know, talking about one of the law of the universe, and this is the law of wisdom. So you can fall very suddenly from a favor when you ascend too quickly. And that's exactly what's happening here. She went to the top of the hill too suddenly, and that's too risky. There's also something else. You always talking about karma. You always pay the price for your decisions. So 2010, in my opinion, is going to be a very tough year for him. And I just pray he's going to make it 2010, 2011. I don't know how he's going to do it.
Okay. Well, and who knows? And I've got that feeling, and I don't want to see what I'm thinking next. But I don't know if he's going to live past the next 2 years, and that's one of the things.
I don't see that either.
Yeah, yeah. And so who knows what's going to happen with that? But if you can forecast it, and I think one of the things that I'm hearing you say, and I'll say it in different words, is that we need to take our own responsibility for our own self and our responsibility for our own emotions. Take a deeper look into it. And start getting connected again. Well, I think the biggest problem that we have in this country right now, we are disconnected. We don't have common definitions. We don't have a common goal that we're moving towards. And without those things, Carmen, we're in trouble.
I want to tell you, we are really in trouble. And I want to tell you this. We have to reach out to each other. Find, as you said, common ground. And we have to get past this mentality, red state, blue state. This is the wrong mentality. You know, that people said, you're wrong, I'm right. You know, let's go of the anger, of the fear, and let's come together, you know, with a peaceful intention, because that's the only way we will survive in this time.
Sure.
And value wisdom over knowledge, because this is what we're not doing for thousands of years. We used to do it by the golden era of Greece, the era of wisdom.
Sure.
We totally forgot about wisdom. We only have opinion, knowledge, computers. You know, we're not introspective anymore. We don't listen to the inner voice. And that's one of the reasons why we don't stick together.
Now, there's two inner voices that I found. That first little voice that says, no, you can't do it, and you're going to fall down. But if you go beyond that voice and you listen to the voice underneath that voice, that's the one to listen to. That's the one who said yes, you can. And if most people would listen to the yes, you can, we'd be in good shape. They're listening to that first little voice, and that's the one that's gotten us into all this trouble, because now I can't do it by myself, so I need somebody to help me out. I need somebody bigger, tougher, and stronger. And it's not working that way, because those people who've said they're bigger and tougher and stronger aren't.
And, you know, we have to face that the financial system is going to collapse.
Sure.
You may not like it, but it's going to happen.
No, and by the way, everything that he said he was going to do, he's doing right now. And if we watch it, and I don't want to turn this political, but if we watch what's going on right now, that he's eroding the economic system that we have now, and then we're looking to replace it with a system underneath that, and that system's starting to fall apart too. So the scary thing is there's no net here, and that's what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly, exactly. But you know what? If you look at everything that's happening right now from a metaphysical perspective, this is the end of the last 5,000 years in our evolution. It's called the era of the Kali Yuga. So this era is coming to an end. So the so-called 2012 doomsday is just the end of a calendar that has been established thousands of years ago. And we are so scared that a calendar is coming to an end, which only proves that an era is coming to an end. It's not the end of the world. But we're about to begin a new era as of 2033, which is going to be the era of the Golden Yuga. And that's going to be an amazing time on Earth, when we will have much longer lives, when we're not going to have the same diseases, when we'll be living in peace with each other, when we're not going to go to attack, respond to violence with violence, or attack other countries, you know, because this is not the way to resolve problems with violence and armies instead of the shift upwards in consciousness. So this is where we're going in the years to come. But we're in transition for now for the next 20 years. And it's very sad to see that we're not coming together.
Well, I think what's needed are, and you said, the wisdom. There are people who need to hear what they need to do to move through it. And I think everybody needs mentors. Everybody needs somebody who can teach the wisdom and move through and basically hold people by the hand. That's really what we
need. And you know, Michael, I always predicted a world in the years to come without presidents, because we need new forms of leadership.
Yeah.
You know, if you go 200-something years ago and you think of the first president, is exactly when the planet Pluto was in the same position. And the planet Pluto takes 200-something years to reach in a different position. And when it does, It means there's a new form of leadership. So I think in the years to come, we're going to come to the conclusion that, as I said, the blue state, red state, that doesn't work. Presidents don't work. We need something different. New forms of new financial institutions. Everything is going to change on Earth in such a big way that's even hard to imagine.
And one of the things that has to happen is not even necessarily the president, but those people that are in power. And there is
exactly.
Power. Yeah, there's power behind the president. They forget who's working for who.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where it is. Money can buy you just about anything today. And if you want anything changed, you can't take a knife to a gunfight. You have to fight fire with fire, and you have to have the same amount of money or more to get a point driven home today. That's wrong.
Totally wrong. And talking about the money system, that's what I'm saying, that we're going to wake up one day and we're not going to have bank accounts. We're not going to have banks. This entire system, it's going to fall apart completely. And we have to stop denying it. When we start acknowledge that this is actually happening to us. I predicted 15 years ago that one day Europe will have one single form of currency. And it happened. You know, when I went to Europe last time this spring, I saw everybody pays with euros. But my prediction goes further and says, well, one day we're not going to have dollars and euros anymore. So. And we're not going to have the same monetary system because we didn't have banks 100 years ago. We didn't have money, paper money 500 years ago. So everything has a beginning and an end, and it's going to be for our own good.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is we're getting recycled.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And by the way, I can see it. No, I come from a time where people didn't live the way that they live now. There was a little different mindset,
mm-hmm.
and people treated people differently, and you took care of yourself, and if you fell down, you got back up, and you continued forward. We don't have that, and we do need to recycle now. The financial system, the rest of it, I've said this I don't know how many times over the years, that as a military power, there is no one, there's no country on this planet that can stand toe-to-toe with us and beat us, but when it happens, if it happens, it's going to come within. We're going to implode, and we're going to do it to ourselves.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, no, I can see it.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you see this happening fairly rapidly, or is this going to just move through this 10, 20-year period?
Well, I don't think that anything is going to happen in 2012. Nothing's going to happen in 2012. It's going to take a while. Process will take a while, as like, for instance, everybody talks about the shift of the poles, and that's a scary feeling. But the shift of the pole will actually happen. The only difference is it's not going to happen soon. It's going to happen around 2141. So we still have another 100-something years to face that. It's not going to happen as fast as we think it will. So it allows us to get ready, to get ready. And I think, you know, the pole shifted 71 times in the last, I don't know how many millions of years.
Yeah.
And it will happen again. So what it means is that the civilization will go under the water, but I think that everybody will have airplanes by that time, you know, and we'll be able to survive this, like we always did. We always survived the shift of the pole.
Well, Carmen, that's what we are. We are survivors, no matter what, no matter how technologically advanced
mm-hmm.
we become. We happen to be survivors. That's the one thing that is innate within all of us. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your gender is, your ethnicity, your religion, your whatever. We are survivors. And at base, we're all exactly the same. And that's where the problem that we've had in the last, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, whatever it's taken us to build to here, is that if you and I were to go to any country, whether it be Asia, if we went to Germany, if we went to Russia, wherever, and if you got away from the politics, if you got away from mainstream, you'd find people that were no different than you and I. Maybe a little different in the culture, maybe we think a little bit differently, but deep down, it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
And deep down, that undefinable being that we call God, same God.
There's only one God.
Yeah.
There's only one God. There's only one world. You know, we are the world. You know, that's why I think that everybody resonated to Michael Jackson. You know, we are the world. You are the children. So the fact that we are one, that was the message, you know. And we have to embrace this message. It's about time to acknowledge that we all are together, you know, and we can change this destructive course in human history. If we are together, we can do it.
Well, by the way, I completely agree, and I think one of the keys is political stuff. I really never cared for Hillary Clinton from the get-go, but if she would have become president, she would have became my president. At that moment in time, when the president becomes the president, they're not a man, they're not a woman, they're not a Republican, they're not a Democrat. They're the most powerful person in the world. And that doesn't quite happen, but that's the way it should be.
But I also think that talking about oneness and totality, I think humanity had to come together with the idea that if we are one, then we have to put together black and white. We have to put together woman and man. So the two poles have to come together. And I think that one of the reasons that we're seeing a woman like Hillary being out there.
By the way, I like her
too. Hillary Clinton. Nuh-uh. It's about the female energy. It's not about Barack Obama. It's about the black and the white. It's something else, much deeper, much more profound, that has to do with the evolution of the human consciousness. That finally we can accept the idea that we are the same, that we have to come together. It doesn't matter the color of the skin. Doesn't matter male or female.
Carmen, it's not the color of the skin. It's consciousness. Okay. I have a prejudice, and I will say that I've ever had a prejudice, and I've always had the prejudice, and it's not black and white. It's consciousness. There are white people I won't let in my house, and that's the key. Yes, there has to be a coming together, but there has to be a coming together from both sides. There's where the problem is. If the both sides don't come together, then this old stuff keeps going on, and there are people who are out there making money because of keeping people separate. So, you know, we've got that going too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we got
they should hire us to become presidents.
I happen to know Hillary Clinton pretty well, you know. So
by the way, I love her and what she's doing now. In this job she's got, I really came up with some respect for that woman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But now, you know, finally, but that's the way of things. Everybody needs to be in their particular position. Although I do think if I could go back a year and a half ago or whatever it was, and there was and if I was to vote between Hillary Clinton and Obama, I would have voted for her so fast my head would have spun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But who knew? Hindsight. Okay. Yeah. Do you have a website we can find you at?
My website is my name, CRMENHARRA, CarmenHara.com. Hara means joy and happiness in Greek, and Carmen in Latin means poetry and music.
By the way, wasn't Hera, she was the goddess of what? Hera was one of the goddesses.
Yeah, the goddesses of Earth.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. I remember that from way back, 300-400 years ago when I was around. I remember that stuff. Okay, but and we can find the book and
anywhere,
everything else.
Any
okay,
bookstores online at Amazon. The book is everywhere.
And if somebody wants to get private consulting, they can find you.
They can find me on my website, CarmenHara.com. CRMENHARRA, CarmenHara.com, and they can find everything about me.
Carmen, thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
I've had fun.
It was such a pleasure.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
And the only heart I own for you and you alone. Oh, that's all. Oh, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall. And a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. Oh, that's all. Oh, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the